drive, chip, and putt. Golf is so easy. Four? Okay, maybe the occasional wedge. Let's talk golf. It's the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN Chicago. Presented by the Glenview Park Golf Club. Now here are your hosts, Mike Gilligan and Tyler Rocky.
Good morning and welcome on in to the CDGA Golf Show. Tyler Aki, Mike Gilligan with you every single Saturday throughout the golf season. You want to jump on into the conversation? 312-332-3776. We're talking golf with you. You can watch us on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago. Also on YouTube, youtube.com. Just search ESPN Chicago. It's brought to you by Woodford Reserve this week. And Mike, it seems like we finally hit the turn in the weather. We got a nice little taste of it a couple weeks ago when things were sitting in the 80s for a little bit on that Friday, Saturday. A lot of people got their first rounds in. And I think we are here for good now when you look at the forecast for the rest of the week. And it hopefully is going to be the turn into the rest of the summer as well. And people will really start to rack up some of those rounds now.
Well, good morning, Tyler, and good morning, Chicagoland golfers. Yes, finally, one day at a time, we got here, right? Good weather. In fact, on my way down here, I passed a few golf courses and the parking lots were already filling up. Guys had bags slung over their shoulder, heading to the first tee. So, yeah, get out there and play. Are you going to get out and play this weekend?
So, all my friends canceled on me for tomorrow.
Uh-oh.
So, I am SOL for this weekend. We were heading up to Glenview Park, but unfortunately, a bunch of people bailed. However, I do think it looked like it's going to be a little rainy tomorrow, and we had an afternoon tee time, so I don't think it would have ended well for us. But, I do plan on playing next week. Next week we will get out there and finally. Well, I already have one round under my belt so far, but I will get round number two next week. That is the plan right now.
Well, you got to have a plan, right? Now I got to work the plan.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's at least even if it rains tomorrow, it's going to be warm. It's one thing to be cold and wet, but it's okay to be, I guess, warm and wet. There's
no
a difference. And you can still practice. And for tournament players out there, you got to practice in this stuff because guess what? You're going to play in it.
Right.
So, yeah,
you never know what Mother Nature's going to throw your way for those tournament rounds as well. So we've been talking because it seems like this is sort of the signal of the new golf season, right? We're finally into it. We're into the thick of it. It is definitely going to be, it looks like, going to be nice for the foreseeable future now. Now, you still have to deal with rain and all that stuff, right? But for the sake of this exercise, this seems like the turn in the weather. It seems like the turn into the golf season right now. And with each golf season, it always feels like there's one thing that you try to get better, your quote-unquote golf resolution for the year. And that is where we sort of find ourselves now. So I know you put in a lot of work over the winter trying to get ready to play in some tournaments as well this year. But have you declared what your golf resolution is for this year?
Well, physically, obviously, is to make the swing change that I'm in the process of making. But the biggest resolution I have is to try to stay in the present. And what I mean by that is not thinking about two shots ahead, the hole I fear, what my score might be. Mm-hmm. Hey, if I just par out, I'll shoot this. Mm-hmm. That's when I get myself in a ton of trouble. And that's where the edge becomes dulled. And the next thing I do is even if I say, oh, if I just made bogey, bogey, bogey finish, I'll shoot, 76.
Right.
And guess what?
You put one in the water.
That's exactly what happens. I took my mind off of it for a second. So my true resolution is to put my cell phone in the golf bag and not look at it until the 18th hole. Because that's one way I get out of the present in a quick hurry. Mm-hmm. And I try to shut it all off. And what I've done, like yesterday when I went and played, I told my boss, I am taking the afternoon off. And so I didn't have a phone call. I didn't have a worry in the world. And I had the most enjoyable time out on the golf course with my brother and my nephew out at Stonebridge.
You know, that's a great one there because when you talk about the things that sort of get in your head, it's exactly that. Like, oh, I'm going to break 80. Oh, I'm going to break 90. Or if you're new, like, I'm going to break 100 if I do X, Y, and Z, right? And it once you start to calculate what X, Y, and Z are, that's when the round goes south.
That's exactly
and
right.
It happened to me. Like, I was playing. It was on the back nine. It was a rough front nine for me, but I was like, you know, I could break 40 on this back nine here. And I started counting, like, oh, and I even got a par three ahead of me, too. Like, even better. Nope. That's when you start to, then you, I tripled the par three. I doubled the 18th, and it was a disaster. It was a disaster.
And, again, the game is such a mental puzzle that we have to do everything we can to make our mind free and clear so that we can just play. And it sounds so basic and so trivial, but our minds are wired in such a way that we let the littlest of things enter into the thought process. And just for that dull moment or that one moment, your edge gets dulled a little bit and a mistake happens, a flaw in your swing, or you get a little too quick, a little too anxious because you started putting your own pressure on yourself by trying to break 80.
Mm-hmm.
So now all of a sudden, there's a little bit more quickness in your tempo down to the ball, and then the thing goes in directions you just don't want it to go.
If you've got a golf resolution you want to share with us, 312-332-3776. This segment brought to you by Geneva National. Experience 54 holes of legendary golf at Destination Geneva National. I say this every single year, and I think this is going to be my true resolution for this year. I don't really put this together as a resolution each year, but this year is definitely the resolution of mine. Just practice putting more. Just practice putting more because these April and May rounds, that's what kills me. And it always feels like, okay, you may go to X Golf or you may go to the driving range in the winter months, in the early spring months, but if you don't put enough time in on that putting green, it doesn't really matter a whole heck of a lot what you're doing at the simulator, at the range. It really doesn't matter a whole heck of a lot if you don't have your work on the greens ironed out, because that is what will turn your round. That, like, even my first round of the year killed me. I don't think I've had more three putts in my life than my first round of the year. And that, to me, that's why I think putting is going to be the thing that I really try to hone in on, because I've always felt like I've had a pretty good touch around the green, pretty good feel for a lot of greens. But that just kind of felt like something that's sort of innate for me. And because of that, I feel like I haven't practiced as much as I should. And it's led to some inflated scores at times.
And it sure will, because let's face it, most of the shots that we take are either on the green or in and around the green. But it's amazing because we love to hit golf balls. We love to hit long bombs.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't practice. And I have to tell you, practicing putting is boring. I mean,
right.
Break out three golf balls, go on the putting green, and after 10 minutes, I'll ask you just how bored are you?
Yeah.
And you almost have to be a little dumb to how boring it can be, because honest to God, I my dad played in the Greater Greensboro Pro-Am one year, and there was a former tour player, Jack Newton, who came off of his round with his Pro-Am guys. He put three golf balls down at 2:30 in the afternoon on the putting green and was there at 6:30 that evening, still putting.
Wow.
So that's 4 hours.
Right.
But he ended up placing third in that event. But it is a more than a 9-to-5 job for these guys. And, you know, you mentioned putting. That, for me, the other part of my resolution is to do something every single day that's getting me a little bit better. And if that means I just putt for 5 to 10 minutes somewhere in a quality fashion, then that's what I'll do. And even if it's making, you know, 20, 30 swings indoors that are legit and real in front of the mirror to make sure certain things are happening, that's getting better. Even watching video, reading, you know, just something. Yeah. Every day I'm trying to, because if you're not winning, you're learning. And this game, you can't master it. And it's a puzzle without an answer. So, you know, with that being said, yeah.
If you've got a golf resolution you want to share with us, 312-332-3776. Yeah, you know, and it's so easy these days with putting, too. Like, you mentioned how it can be a sort of tedious task at times to just go out there, sit, you grab a couple balls, and you putt around the green. But I do think that one of the greatest things to happen to putting practice is wireless headphones. because you can go out there, you can throw them in, you can listen to music, you can listen to a podcast, whatever you want to do, and you sort of kind of enter your own world at that point. And that's something that I think, especially when it gets nice out in the summer months, and you don't need, like, you can go out there and you can go like at 6-7 o'clock and no one's out there at that point because all the rounds have teed off already. All the tee times are through and it's just you and the putting green and your earbuds. And it's a great time. It truly is a different type of experience when you just kind of show up at the course and just putt around the green a little bit.
And those earbuds, by the way, are now more commonplace than they've ever been.
Yeah.
I the other day I was at the practice range, and there was, I think, two people out of about 20 that didn't have them in. And it's amazing. It does allow you to get into your own little zone. You know,
right.
You get that. You're not distracted by anything that anybody says or comes up to you or wants to talk to you. And what I also like about it is when they're in your ears, a lot of people will not come up and bother
right.
you.
It is the universal sign of do not talk to me.
That's exactly right. And so, yeah, I love to put my earbuds in and just hit balls to some nice soft music. And mm-hmm. But to your point, go to the putting green. And I find I putt so much longer. And as a result, yeah. I've gotten better at putting this year already. I can see the difference just because of the time I'm putting into it. But you're spot on. That's because I've been wearing the earbuds, and I guess I never just equated to it. Yeah, I guess I end up practicing longer.
Yeah. It's amazing what a little technology can do for your game. 312-332-3776 if you want to share your resolution for this new golf year, because it seems like we are there. It is the turn. It is the, I think, are we going to call this our unofficial start to the golf season right here?
Yeah, in a way. And I also say it's kind of happy golf year. You know, yeah. It's like happy new year. So here it is. Now we're officially being able to get started. And I think once and for all, I think that four-letter word of snow is no longer in our vocabulary, I think safe to say here. And nothing but green grass and warmer skies and temperatures ahead.
Yep. 312-332-3776. If you want to share your golf resolution with us, we'll take your calls when we come back. This is the CDGA Golf Show, and this segment sponsored by Geneva National. Experience 54 holes of legendary golf at destination Geneva National.
This is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1100.3 HD2 and the ESPN Chicago app. Welcome into the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000, presented by Glenview Park Golf Club. Here's your hosts, Mike Gilligan and Tyler Aki.
To the CDGA Golf Show here on ESPN 1000, also on 100.3 HD2, and you can listen on the go with the ESPN Chicago app. This segment brought to you by Tour Edge. Talking a little bit about some of our golf resolutions for the year as the new golf year is underway. And if you've got a resolution that you want to share with us, 312-332-3776. I really like Mike's that he put out there. Just be more present, right? Put the phone away. Don't count your scores until you're off of that 18th green, because that's when you get yourself into some trouble there. That is when you find yourself pressing, you find yourself maybe going for some scores that you shouldn't be, and you're just going to be a lot happier, I think, if you sort of settle on in with the round that you're currently playing as opposed to the one that you may be striving for once you hit 15 or 16.
Well, yeah, and I think golf for all of us is a game of barriers. Whether you're just starting out and playing the game, breaking 100 is a milestone, right? And then after you break 100, well, you're trying to break 95. Then you're trying to break 90. You're trying to get yourself down. So everybody's got a barrier that they're trying to punch through. But what happens is when we're on the golf course, you know, we get ourselves into that position and we know it. And it's our ability mentally to deal with it. And the first and maybe even the second time you're in that position to now make your personal best score, more often than not, you're probably going to fail. But live by the mantra, don't get bitter, get better. Mm-hmm. And you know, that's all part of learning and learning how to deal with that moment the next time you're there and not what you did before. And when I find where I fail out on the golf course, I generally can go back to a moment that took me out of my mental presence. And whether it was, oh, the beverage cart just drove up and we started talking about something, you know, with the guy or girl that's serving the drinks. And the next thing you know, you're laughing about something and it's your shot now and you're not prepared. It can be just that small. So, you know, for me, the being presence is or being present is such a huge thing. And I've noticed that my scores are affected in a good way or in a bad way when I can stay in that zone.
So you were talking a little bit there about the going like the little milestones that you reach along the way. Break 100, break 95. I think one of the things about breaking 100, I don't think it has almost anything to do with skill to break 100. I think it all kind of revolves around learning how to play golf. That's how you break 100. Because that's when, all right, I think that one of the biggest mistakes that newcomers make is you think you got to hit every ball in the cup.
Right.
And you can't do that, obviously. But it's just kind of learning how to play. But which to you, of all the sort of milestones that you're hitting along the way, which to you was the toughest one to break through in terms of break 100, break 90, break 80, and then breaking 70 is going to be right. hard no matter what.
Yeah. But. And that was one of my tougher ones. But actually, I found breaking 70 easier than I found breaking 80 for the first time.
Yeah.
I struggled breaking 80. I got so close. And the first time I ever did it, it was when I wasn't keeping score. I had no idea how I was doing until the very end. And the guy handed me the scorecard and I shot 78 and didn't even know it. And that gave me a clear indication and a hint that it's better off that you just stay with what you're doing. So whenever we ask, like, who wants to keep score? I head the other direction. I hate keeping score because then I feel mentally like I got a good chance to play well then.
Did you check his math? Or did you just take
it? Oh, I did. No, I took the card. I checked the math. I brought it home and put it on the refrigerator.
My buddy, for his birthday, he went and played. I forget. I think he was down in Florida. Yeah, he must have been down in Florida at the time. And he has been trying to break 80, break 80, break 80. And on his birthday, he broke 80. And then he went back and did the math. And he was off by I think, 2 strokes. So instead of breaking 8, I think he had a 78. And then with the 2 strokes that he miscalculated, he was right at 80 again. He was so pissed.
Well, but at the same time, that's karma. So the golf gods will shine down on him. I bet he finally broke 80, I'm going to guess.
Or I don't know if he has. I don't know if he has. Yeah, the math gods aren't shining down on him.
He's very deserving. I'll just say that.
312-332-3776 if you want to jump on in. If you've got a golf resolution or maybe you're heading out to play today, pretty nice day today. So if you're heading on out to your course, let us know where you're checking in from. 312-332-3776. So, and then my resolution for the season is just practice putting more. Get to the course a few minutes earlier than you usually do and just get a few more putts in, because that to me is really where you can shave some of those strokes down. Or even if you go after hours too, after work or something like that, head out to a putting green and just put in an hour, put in an extra 30 minutes or something. Because like you said, Mike, after 10 minutes, it can be really boring practicing putting because you're just kind of walking around, tapping the ball, trying to, and you're playing on a green that you're not going to play on ever.
Right?
Like that's one of the other things, but it's sometimes just finding that muscle memory. And you need that, really. You need to just hone in what that muscle memory is. What's your distance from, what's the feel from 8 feet? What's the feel from 15 feet? All that stuff, and just kind of put those barriers in, and then you're surely going to improve that putting stroke.
So when I practice, I try to play a variety of games, either with other people or with myself to help, you know, cure the boredom, if you will. And some of the things that I'll do after practicing a lot of 8, 10, 15 footers is then I'll go cross country on the green because I want to start to feel pace. And most 3 putts are traced back to the very first putt, not the second one. It's usually the first one that puts you into trouble.
Right.
But as you were speaking, it made me think putting, if you are solid with your game in the putting aspect, it's not only going to allow you to shave strokes or save strokes, but it's going to help you score when you are hitting the ball well tee to green. So if your putting's there, it's there to save your game, but when your tee to green game is on, it's then where you put the hammer down and really start to go low. And so putting is so crucial, and I think it is one of the most underestimated aspects of our game and the least amount that we practice, but in reality, it should be the most.
And if you're ever playing any sort of like team event too, boy, are you an asset.
And you are a big, big friend all of a sudden.
Yes.
And you've got big fans. And nothing like somebody with a hot putter when you're in a two-person or a four-person scramble.
Mm-hmm.
That's the best. You just and whatever order you started out playing, wherever he putted, whatever he did, whatever ball mark he used, you continue to keep doing the same
right.
thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just what you do.
I remember at our company golf outing earlier, last summer rather, our station golf outing at Seven Bridges, Peggy Kaczynski is a phenomenal green reader. Like, no one can read a green like Peggy.
Wow.
And boy, was she setting up. She was in a group with Carmen and Waddle, and she was just setting them up. It just gave them the line, said, hit it here, hit it there, hit it here, hit it there. And they were just draining birdies all round long, and it was unbelievable.
Well, and there's something to be said. If you've got somebody that you can trust and knows how to read a green, when you are standing over it and you know, now I just got to roll it over that spot,
mm-hmm.
the guesswork has been taken out, and you can putt with such a free mind.
Yes.
It's amazing. You're not questioning your stroke or your read halfway through the stroke, which a lot of us have done. But one of the most interesting games that I have ever experienced playing, if you're ever putting by yourself, is you literally take three golf balls and you go 1 foot away from the hole and you putt all three. Mm-hmm. And if you make them all in, you get one under for each ball that goes in the hole.
Yeah.
So obviously you're going to get to 6-9 under in a quick hurry in 2-3 feet, right? See how far out you can go before you go one over par. And then try to break it. I have a friend of mine. He went out to 33 feet. So just go out and try it. So when you go out to the golf course today, try it. And I'll be impressed if you can get past 15 feet.
Yeah.
But and then start all over. Once you get back to one over par, then start all over. And I will tell you, the next time that you play golf, you will be shocked at how well you'll putt.
Interesting. I've never thought of that.
Yeah. It's called nails.
Yeah.
The game is called nails.
That's a good one. That's a good, like, I feel like you need some sort of extra when you're practicing putting, you need some sort of stimulation or competition within it. Or otherwise it just feels like you're tapping the ball around, right? And you're just spending mindless hours or minutes or half
hours. Wasting your time.
Right. Yeah. It just kind of feels like you're going through the motions at times. Right?
Right.
And that's, I think, what makes it so boring at times. You need that extra stimulation, whether it's the earbuds and whether it's some sort of competition with yourself. All of that stuff is so important. So I think that's one thing that certainly can help you. But if you've got a golf resolution, 312-332-3776, or if you want to check on in where you're heading to play this afternoon or this morning, Mike's in Lake in the Hills. What's up, Mike?
Morning, guys. Yeah, just actually on my way up to Janesville, Wisconsin, playing Glen Aaron today. And then tomorrow I've got Aurora Country Club, and on Monday I'm playing the Glen Club.
Awesome. So you're all over the place.
Jeez.
You're in Wisconsin, you're out in Aurora, then you're going to Glenview, all over the place.
Yeah, so actually what it is, I'm playing with the Veteran Golfers Association, and it's a competitive golf league for veterans and their families. We get to go play a bunch of states, play a bunch of tournaments, and have fun. So we're always looking for new members, vgagolf.org. If you're interested, please take a look. Thank you.
Awesome.
Wow, that's
appreciate
awesome.
It, Mike, and thank you for your service as well. That's a cool way to sort of like just kind of make your way around to all these different stops, and it's a cool organization it seems like to be a part of as well.
Well, and again, you know, golf brings that social aspect to the game, right?
And you spend 4 hours with someone that you've probably never seen before, and you probably never will again.
At the same time, though, it's also a game where we can be with the ones we love to be around, family, friends, or colleagues of sort. And, you know, these groups, these leagues are popping up everywhere. In fact, I was just out at Cantini the other day. There had been 45 women all playing together on a Saturday out there, and it was just the greatest thing to see. They were having such a great time, and the camaraderie, the friendship, it was just, it was cool to see. And that's what this game does for us.
And that's the one thing I, that was my biggest takeaway when we were at the Chicago Golf Show out in Rosemont. My biggest takeaway is that this sport now sprays to every demographic. Every single one. Young, old, men, women, didn't matter. You saw every person represented at that Chicago Golf Show.
And yesterday, just on the practice tee before we went out, to your point, I saw young kids, I saw men, women, older people, young professionals. It was the whole gamut out there. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just really cool to see. And it's a game that lasts a lifetime. And if you are fortunate, and like myself, who got to play golf at a young age, I'm ever so grateful, because now I have this skill set later in life where, you know, yeah, I played baseball. Yeah, I played hockey, but I'm not going to be able to do that too much further into the future. So, but golf I can play for a long time.
Yep. 312-332-3776. If you've got a place you want to check in at, or if you have a golf resolution for us, 312-332-3776. The segment brought to you by Tour Edge. We'll take all your phone calls. And the Chicago Golf World lost a legend yesterday, or this week rather. We will talk about that when we come back. This is the CDGA Golf Show.
This is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1100.3 HD2 and the ESPN Chicago app. From PGA to where you should play, this is the CDGA Golf Show with Mike Gilligan and Tyler Aki, presented by Glenview Park Golf Club.
Welcome back to the CDGA Golf Show. This segment is sponsored by PGA Tour Superstore. Visit any of our three Chicagoland locations today. And it is a PGA Tour Superstore CDGA Saturday as well.
Yes, it is.
So what does that entail for people who may be driving around or are in the Schaumburg area right now?
Yeah, if you are in the market for any product, merchandise, otherwise apparel, today is the day. Head on out to Schaumburg specifically. We have a CDGA Saturday. Starts at 9 a.m., goes to 11 a.m. The first 50 CDGA members that show up get a $20 gift card just for showing up. Mm-hmm. And then anyone that shows up thereafter, you get a $50 off of a $250 purchase. So if you're thinking about buying that stealth driver or that Scotty putter, or you know, a significant purchase to, you know, round out your golf bag, mm-hmm. today is the day. Go on out to Schaumburg. Next Saturday, we're going to be out at the Downers Grove PGA Superstore doing the same thing. So for you in the western suburbs, don't worry. Next week in Orland Park, we'll be down there June 3rd. So we're kind of making the rounds to all the PGA Superstores.
Yeah, if you're not one of those first couple that get the $20 gift card there, I mean, pretty easy to spend $250 at PGA Tour Superstore. It's one of those things. It's like Target, right? You walk in to try to get batteries, and then you walk out with a shoe rack and a TV or a TV stand or something like that. It's like all that stuff. You walk in, you're just going to buy a dozen balls. You're just going to buy a glove or something like that. And then you walk out with a new wedge.
Yeah, that's a tough store for me to go into. And
kid
my wife,
in the candy shop.
Yeah, my wife cringes every time she hears I'm heading there. So. And she does an inspection when I walk in the house. What did you get? What did you get? So, right. Yeah, but it's my favorite store in the world.
Yeah. Mike, the Chicago area lost a golf and the golf world in general lost a legend in the business and the industry this week when Lance Tenbrook, we got the news that he died earlier this week down in Florida, but he is a native of the south side of Chicago. And you got a chance to know Lance a little bit, and just kind of, you were sort of filling me in on his legacy and everything and the impact that he had on the game of golf. But Lance Tenbrook passed away at the age of 67 this week.
Yeah, far too early. He was known as Last Call Lance. Obviously had his fun in the pubs at night and the whatnot. But yeah, he is a journeyman. He grew up a block or so away from Beverly Country Club, caddied there. And, you know, the Tenbrook brothers were all very good players. But Lance, obviously being the best, won the 1984 Magnolia Classic, had 355 starts, 11 top 10s, made 162 cuts. Now, this is important because Later, he ends up becoming a caddy. But before he did, he went to the University of Texas, played there for 2 years, was an All-American both years, wins the Southwest Conference, turned pro at 19, played the 1975 U.S. Open over here at Medina Country Club and tied for 49th. But later, when his game in the early 40s started to deteriorate, he ended up caddying for Jesper Parnevik. So one of the great stories about Lance is in 2009, he is the only player to have caddied in a professional event and then played in it. And how that happened was at the Texas Open, he caddied for Parnevik in the morning. And then when he got done, he realized that somebody was not going to make it to the event and was pulling out. So because he made at least 150 cuts in his career, he was able to fill in if he was at site and there was no other alternate. There wasn't an alternate on site. So Lance went down to the practice tee, borrowed Richard Johnson's golf clubs, Tad Riding's putter, David Duvall's shoes, Lee Jansen's glove, and then he went into Parnevik's golf bag and took out all his golf balls, went out and shot 71, and he beat the guy that he was caddying for. The next day, borrowed another set of clubs and shot 70 and missed the cut by two. And he beat Jesper Parnevik with two separate golf sets of golf clubs that weren't his. The guy was absolutely an incredible talent. At age 61, at the PGA Champions Tour Tour School, he shot 62 at the age of 61. So, you know, last call, Lance, rest in peace, brother. I had an opportunity to play in the Western Open qualifier in 1983 with him, and he was the nicest man to me. I was a young kid who didn't know anything about anything, and he couldn't have been nicer, and it was cool to watch him qualify for the Western Open. So, yeah, rest in peace, Lance. You were loved.
You were talking about the round where he caddied and then played. That is a hell of a way to log 72 holes of golf.
I mean,
he didn't make the cut, but just to A, beat the guy that you caddied for in the morning, and then B, still have the stamina to go out and do what you did and serve. I mean, talk about a war of attrition right there. And he certainly passed that with flying colors.
Oh, he certainly did. And, you know, here's the funny part. You know, the guy was a journeyman. Okay, so he made 162 cuts. His grand total winning, $790,000.
Wow.
The guys get that for finishing like third these days. Yeah. It's crazy. But, yes, Lance was a legend here in Illinois, but he was also a legend out on the PGA Tour.
And certainly a friend of the area. You mentioned you got to play around with him before, and just the it's always cool. Like the caddy stories are always the best.
They are,
in my opinion, because they've seen everything. They know everything that's going on. They know the course better than the people that play it. They may even know the course better than the people that tend to it as well. But just whether it was your friends that caddied, whether it was anyone that was in the caddy business, and then also in the case of Lance, also got a taste of playing as well. It's always, they always have great stories too.
Yeah, and you know what really made it cool is Lance was actually a neighbor of Parnevik, and they were at a barbecue, and Parnevik just suggested, why don't you caddy for me? So he went to the Greater Greensboro. The very first event, Parnevik wins it. So, you know, it's cool how golf does these kinds of things and brings people together. And Lance Tenbrook was just an amazing guy, a friendly guy, a guy that I looked up to as a junior golfer because he was 9 years older than I was. Mm-hmm. But he was accomplishing everything. When he was a teenager, a junior, he's playing in the Illinois Opens and U.S. Open qualifiers. And, you know, he was the best player in our area for quite a while.
It's very, very cool to hear. And rest in peace to Lance Tenbrook, who died at the age of 67 down in Florida. All right, Mike, when we come back, speaking of caddies, I do want to talk about something that's taking place at Quail Hollow right now in the Wells Fargo, because there is a big sort of caddy shakeup, I guess, you can put it. And it's working out so far. So we will talk about that, give you an update of what's taking place down at the Wells Fargo Championship right now in Charlotte, North Carolina. Looking forward to doing that because, hey, this is one of those big-time events, too. One of those elevated events. You got a $20 million purse for this one. Should be an interesting finish and a fascinating finish here because the stars are out. The stars are out for this one. And some of the stars are out. as well. Out. We'll talk about all that when we come back. This segment brought to you by PGA Tour Superstore. Visit any of our three Chicagoland locations today.
This is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1100.3 HD2 and the ESPN Chicago app. Golf is on your mind and on the air right now. This is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1100.3 HD2 and the ESPN Chicago app. Presented by Glenview Park Golf Club.
This segment brought to you by Zero Friction and their new Wheel Pro Golf Bag. Tyler Aki and Mike Gilligan with you here on the CDGA Golf Show, talking golf with you every single Saturday throughout the season. You want to join us, 312-332-3776. Store that number right now, in fact, because callers 5 and 10, you will win a CDGA prize pack right now. And also, be sure to check out the CDGA store as well, because you just alerted me to some of these new beauties that came in.
Oh, yeah.
How about these? If anyone likes the rope hats, these are nice and trendy these days. We're showing them on Twitch and on YouTube right now, brought to you by Woodford Reserve this week. But you can see these hats that just came in. These are great. In fact, we'll give away one of these CDGA ESPN Chicago ones later on in the show. But anyone that loves the rope hat, they just came in to the CDGA store, so be sure to check that out. Or if you're missing anything that you need for your golf bag, or hey, Mother's Day's around the corner as well.
Yeah, it's coming up in a hurry.
So be sure to check all that out on the CDGA store. There's some great stuff there. I remember seeing everything that was there for when we were at the Chicago Golf Show. You guys set up like the mini pro shop almost. That was there, and yep. That was fantastic. So that was there was a lot of cool stuff, whether it was quarter zips, whether it was hats, polos, anything you need for the golf season. So a lot of good stuff right there. All right, so interesting stuff taking place out at Quail Hollow. One of the biggest things that is taking place right now is a change on the bag for Patrick Cantlay, mm-hmm. who now is with Tiger Woods' old caddy, Joe LaCava. And they made the switch right here. Now what is your stance on the caddy switches and the caddy hirings and firings? At some points, it seems like it is sort of the like the hitting coach in baseball, where it can be the scapegoat, where I'm in a slump, why don't I just fire my caddy and hire a new one, right? But sometimes it does make a genuine difference. So do you see this? And listen, Patrick Cantlay has had a lot of success on the PGA Tour. He's 4-under right now in a tie for 20. But is this just a sort of new caddy bump that you're thinking right now for Cantlay? Or is this something that this is sustained success? Because we're seeing it with someone who's got a pretty good pedigree, too, in Joe LaCava.
Well, yes. I think he saw what Cam Young did. Mm-hmm. I think he saw what Bubba Watson did. They both turned to caddies that have been there, been in the mix, in the firing line, with all the pressure. And you, Joe LaCava, are you kidding me? Your game just got better. In all respect to his previous caddy, this is what I think is going to push Patrick over the edge to get that first major. As you know, I am picking Patrick Cantlay to win the PGA Championship, mm-hmm. and have since before the Masters. And I love the fact that he just made this move, because honestly, you know, yeah, he needs to shake it up a bit, but I think Patrick has struggled down the stretch. And I think this is where a caddy / psychologist and, you know, just overall mentalist helper is going to be worth his weight in gold, I think, for Patrick. And, you know, getting the blessing from Tiger and allowing Joe to come over makes it all well and good. Because if there is sort of a separation that is really not amicable, you know, the other caddies are going to be out there. You're going to see each other. So I think the way that it was handled bodes well for both Tiger, bodes well for Patrick. But I think it is an indicator of where Tiger is.
Sometimes, too, with caddies, and I think in particular with coaches, too, you just need vibes, guys, yep. right? Like, all these guys are on the PGA Tour for a reason. It's because right. they're damn good at what they do. They That's are right. really good golfers. They are the elite of the elite in the sport. Sometimes you just need a guy who tells you, hey, actually, take your foot off the gas a little bit.
That's right.
And just relax a little bit. Have fun with the game, because that's more important than anything else, because you are so talented. Sometimes you do need to give it a little bit of a break and not be a part of the whole grind of the golf season.
Exactly. And what these guys, you know, human nature is what it is, but these guys will have the, because they're so good, they'll try to force situations. And when they start trying to force a circle into a square, that's where they get into trouble. And I think Joe is going to help Patrick allow the golf course to come to him instead of trying to press. And what I find to be most encouraging in the Patrick Cantlay camp is the fact that he is one of the most wonderful putters out on the PGA Tour, and yet that's been his weak point this season. Mm-hmm. So you know that's going to get back online here, and Joe may be just the guy to help him better read greens. Maybe there was something there. But if Patrick gets that putter going like I know he can, he could win twice this year as yeah. far as majors.
No doubt about it. All right, so looking at the rest of the leaderboard here, very interesting, because it's one of those elevated events. There's a great field out there for this event. But you look at who's sitting in first place right now with 8 under. You got a three-way tie between Wyndham Clark, Nate Lashley, and Tyrrell Hatton right now. And Hatton yesterday fires a 65, 6 under, to put himself in this situation here. Not the leaderboard that you would expect when you've got guys like Justin Thomas and Rory McIlroy and Max Homa, Victor Hovland, all in this field for this week.
Not at all. And, you know, I think this is what's going to start to happen as these designated events become more frequent and, I guess, more normal to these guys. You're going to start seeing rather normal leaderboards again. I think in the beginning, because of the newness, the cream was coming right up to the top right away yeah. because of the amount of money that they're playing for. But I think the players are all getting more comfortable in their own skin playing for this kind of money and having this type of status. So, it's kind of a unique leaderboard. But there's a few guys out there hanging around. You still yeah. got Justin Thomas out there, Tommy Fleetwood, Max Homa, defending champion, tied for 13th at 5 under. He had a nice day, you know, shooting 4 under yesterday. And then, you know, Sung Jae Moon, he's playing well. I mean, you've got a ton of different guys out there, but then you've got a lot of guys we've not heard much from, the Dylan Woos. But here locally, Kevin Streelman having yep. a nice event.
He was fantastic in round one.
Round one, 5 under. Struggled a bit more at even par, but he's still tied for 13th. So it's going to be an interesting weekend, no doubt, down in North Carolina.
It's interesting because you look at, all right, well, we gave you the names of who's tied for first, but when you look at who's tied for fourth, like those are wolves that are smelling some blood right there.
Oh, yeah.
You've got Sung Jae Im, Adam Scott, Justin Thomas, Xander Schauffele, and there's a couple others, Adam Svensson and J.J. Spaun, also a part of that group as well. But those are some established guys right there that are right on their tails and could do some damage here today as well as tomorrow. And then if you go a step beyond that, too, you get to the group that's tied for 13th right now. You brought up Kevin Streelman, but Max Homa's right there. Gary Woodland's not too far behind. The group that's tied for 20th right now, Patrick Cantlay, Webb Simpson, all a part of that group as well. And those guys could all make a little bit of a charge here. But some of the guys that didn't make the cut, also a little bit fascinating as well. When you look at the Colin Morikawas, the Shane Lowrys, the Jordan Spieths, some guys that are struggling here. And even a guy that did make the cut, Cam Young, but he's currently tied for 67th right now, and he's 4 over for the day. He's imploding right now.
Well, and you know, a lot of these guys took time off. And so this is what this week is about, to get their game back sharp again, to get ready for Oak Hill. The PGA Championship is right in our, you know, right up ahead of us. So it's going to be interesting to see how these guys that are the bigger names miss the cut or didn't perform as well this week, and how they snap things back for Oak Hill.
Yep. By the way, shout out to two of the local guys as well that are playing well. Doug Gim from Buffalo Grove is 2 under, tied for 40th. He has not teed off yet today. He's going off in about 20 minutes. And then our friend of the show, Nick Hardy, is currently in a tie for 64th, but did make the cut. He's 2 over today through 9. So shout out to those guys. And by the way, one thing that I did notice too, back nine scoring, way higher than the front nine, especially if you look at some of the guys who started off the back. They were the ones that found a lot of success through the first two rounds of this event. All right, when we come back, speaking of Patrick, we've talked a little bit about Patrick Cantlay. That's your pick for the PGA Championship there. But there's a number of guys who I think we need to talk about as potential first-time major winners this season. We'll talk about all of that when we come back. This segment brought to you by Zero Friction, the most innovative products company in golf.
More golf ahead. The CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000, presented by Glenview Park Golf Club.